Hello, everyone. My name is AJ. I'm here with my good friend Nick, and I'd like to welcome you to Ball Out Sports, a podcast that we're going to be talking all sports throughout the season, hopefully one time a week, every Thursday, and we'll just get it going from there. Nick, how's it going?
Good. What's going on, everybody? My name is Nick. I'd like to welcome you all again. This is something that's been in the works for a while with us. We're both excited to bring it to you, and we'll be talking all sports once a week, every Thursday, sometimes more, depending on what's going on in the sports world. We'll be giving news, breaking news, our opinions on things going on. So, yeah, we're definitely excited, and I say we get into it. Today, we're definitely going to be highlighting the football season so far.
Games on tonight.
Yeah, games are on tonight. So, let's get into it. What are your thoughts on the first 2 weeks of the season so far, AJ?
I think the 2 weeks this so far in this NFL season has been very exciting. Lots of last minute game winners, things aside in the fourth quarter. Not really any blowouts anywhere around the league. Very exciting, and we have some winners and some losers of this week.
Feels good to go over, for sure. Have fans back in the stands.
Absolutely,
it feels good.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, let's get into some winners and losers of the first 2 weeks here.
I want to highlight over the Raiders, because the Raiders in the first 2 weeks have been very surprising. A team that no one really expected to contend with the Chiefs, contend even possibly with the offense of the Chargers, because they didn't have a true number one receiver on this team. They gave away Amari Cooper 2 years ago. Haven't really had a receiver since. They drafted Henry Ruggs, I think. Was it last year?
Two years ago, drafted
Henry Ruggs. And he hasn't lived up to expectations so far. But this team has competed and competed a high clip. Their defense the past two seasons have been one of the historically worst in the entire league, especially from the secondary. But they have some couple guys that I'd like to go over, starting at the defensive front. A guy like Max Crosby, who has been undoubtedly their best player on that line. So far this season, he's gotten 2 sacks. He has 6 tackles, 3 for a loss. He showed out really in that, what was it, a Sunday night game against the Baltimore Ravens? Sunday night game against the Ravens. He definitely showed out for sure.
The Ravens are supposed to have also.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This team, I would say, is overperforming because of Derek Carr. Derek Carr, through 2 weeks, has played. Now, again, it's very early. You can't really say MVP anything, MVP this, but he's played at a level that's a top 5 quarterback in the league through 2 weeks. I think he gets underestimated a bit as a player because he's in Oakland. He hasn't really – or in Las Vegas now. He hasn't really had any teams around him, no weapons around him. He's kind of just been stuck just marinating over there for a while.
Yeah, I definitely think it's important to add, Derek Carr has always been good. It's been the team around him, that defense – it's been awful. They couldn't stop a nosebleed the past 2 years.
Nope.
I still think they have some trouble in the secondary, but the pressure they're bringing, the offensive line looks improved, weapons stepping up, that Edwards kid, Ruggs stepping up. Everyone knows how good Waller is. So I think they're definitely a team to be reckoned with. And let's pump the brakes a little bit. Last year they also started off hot. But I would definitely say they're a big winner the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think they're a much improved team from last year still. Just their talent on their roster is a little bit better than years past where they had these stronger starts. So these stronger starts can be more sustainable. I want to go over Derek Carr, though, through his first 2 weeks. Through Derek Carr's first 2 weeks, he has a 67% completion percentage. He's thrown for 817 yards, 4 touchdowns. He threw 1 pick in that Monday night game. And he loves Darren Waller. I mean, how can you not love Darren Waller?
17 targets.
I think Darren Waller, this could be a hot take to some people. Darren Waller, in my opinion, is the best receiving tight end in the NFL right now, at this very moment. People can argue Travis Kelce easily. I don't think George Kittle's as good of a receiver.
More blocking.
He's a very good blocker. Yeah, very good blocker. But I think Darren Waller, I mean, just go over to his stats. He's in 2 games. In the first game, he had, 10 catches for 100
over
100 or something?
With 18 targets.
18 targets. I mean, you're going to target a guy that's going to be open 90% of the time against any linebacker, any corner in the league, at least that they've played so far. His first 2 games, he's had 15 for 170 and a touchdown. I think Darren Waller it continues at this pace, you can't really have tight ends carry a team, but he can absolutely carry this offense, and he's a bailout player right now for Derek Carr. If you're in a situation, Darren Waller gets open, and I think that's something good to have. Not all teams have that. And if you can suck those players, those outside defenders away, you can open up the Henry Ruggs or open up a Bryan Edwards and players like that. So I want to hear another winner that you have, Nick, that you're excited to talk about.
Yeah, so there's definitely been a few teams that surprised me. I mean, the Broncos are 2-0.
Absolutely.
The Panthers are 2-0. Sam Darnold looks good. Everyone says he wasn't good anymore, and now he looks good with some decent pieces around him, good coaching staff. But my biggest winner, it has to be the Cardinals. I mean, first week they go into Tennessee. They beat up on Tennessee. What was it, 35-3 or something like that?
Big blowout.
I know Tennessee doesn't have a good offense, but, I mean, the Cardinals' defense, Chandler Jones, they have T.J. Watt, Buda Baker on the back end. Those are three serious playmakers. Chandler Jones, 5 sacks the first week. I mean, that defense just went in there, completely shut down Derrick Henry, completely shut down Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Tannehill was nowhere to be found. I mean, that's as impressive as a win so far as anybody in the league. Week two, they beat the Vikings. An average Vikings team. Now, they've been a disappointment so far at 0-2, but that's definitely an average team. You still got some playmakers over there, and they squeaked the win out. But that's the NFL. You never know what team's going to show up week to week. The win's the most important. But, I mean, this team, I think we expected Kyler Murray to be good. I don't think we expected Kyler Murray to be this good. I mean, besides Patrick Mahomes, I think he's the most electric player in the league. The way he runs the ball, you can't bring him down. You can't sack him. He's completing over 73% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, 5 throwing, 2 running, almost 700 yards in the air. And the weapons he has are second to none. I mean, you have the rookie Randall Moore out of Purdue. He looks like a mini Tyreek Hill out there. You have DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, a great deep threat. And let's not forget, you got A.J. Green now as well. Then in the backfield, you have Chase Edmonds. You picked up James Conner. The offensive line looks decent. I mean, they have to be the biggest winner of the first 2 weeks so far. And Kyler Murray, just like Derek Carr, is playing at an MVP level. And he's only going to get better. I think that team will only get better. And I think that's one of the biggest winners of the week so far. They play in a tough division, but if I'm picking right now, that looks like the favorite in that division to me. But
I agree. And to touch more on the Cardinals offense, if I was talking about Darren Waller and Derek Carr having a bailout player, Kyle Murray has almost his three players that can get a job done. A.J. Green, yeah, he's older. He's been banged up. His hands are as good as anybody in the league still. You have DeAndre Hopkins, who's arguably, in my opinion, undoubtedly, the number one receiver in the NFL.
I agree on that. Absolutely.
But people can put whoever they want up there. But right now, D-Hop, physically, just technicality-wise, he's my favorite for the best receiver in the NFL. I mean, you got two guys you can rely on to just catch a ball in a clutch moment if you put it there. You put the ball near them, they'll make a play. So that's something Kyle Murray has in his back pocket. And I think if he just doesn't try to do too much, and if his too much is just trying to run for some more yards, he'll be fine. He can't force any throws. He can get it all with his legs. Then that offense is very scary, because then you don't know how to stop them. Because then you try to stop too many things at once, you leave someone else open. So I agree with that one for sure. The Cardinals are scary.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd like to see Murray not force the ball as much. He threw a couple balls up for grabs against Minnesota, threw a couple interceptions.
Yeah, he doesn't have to.
3 interceptions for the first 2 weeks is a little high, but he doesn't have to do that. And for the first time in his career, he has a running game to lean on. James Conner, he's a good runner. He's not the top back in the league, but he's a solid runner. And then you have Chase Edmonds catching the ball in the backfield. So sometimes, all right, take the underneath route, dump it off to Chase Edmonds, get a few yards. But, yeah, they definitely have been – I think we all thought they were going to be good, but they are definitely better than we all expected through the first 2 weeks of the season. So let's get into some losers now. AJ, you can start with that.
Sure. I am a big loser that I think a lot of teams will have – I don't know how many, or not teams, a lot of people, analysts, sports members will have, is I think the Vikings have been a disappointment. Now, the Vikings aren't supposed to come into this season and be
a Super Bowl favorite.
Absolutely not. But everything looks ugly. Their offense doesn't look good. Kirk is getting a bunch of just garbage time, just dump off throws. Everyone looks out of place. The only thing they have going for them is Dalvin Cook. If they don't have anything with Dalvin Cook, their receiving game has been
with those receivers.
I mean, with those good receivers
and Jefferson, yeah. They should be putting.
And they've been very. The receivers have been good, but they're not executing in the red zone. They are 2 for 6 in the red zone through the first two games.
That's not
going to cut it.
No. Nope.
They get down the field. Their big scores have been past the 50. You have Adam Thielen, who has 131 yards. He has 3 touchdowns in the year. None of those which came in the red zone. Justin Jefferson, 136 and a touchdown. And K.J. Osborne, who kind of came out of nowhere, he stepped up in a role for this team for sure. He has 167 yards, and he also has a touchdown. So those three right there are big weapons that you can use, but they haven't really played any competition. And they're struggling, and it hurts me to see because their defense can't stop a lick. Their defense used to be the
strong point
of that team. That used to be what they were good at. Their secondary used to be elite. They had good linebacker play. The only player on that team that's showing up for defense is Daniel Hunter, who's playing out of his mind. He has 4 sacks through his first 2 weeks, 2 tackles for loss on top of those 4 sacks. So he's been very good. Secondary is non-existent. I mean, you're letting any player go over top right now, this Minnesota defense. That's the only thing that really scares me. Their offense can compete with the Green Bay Packers. It can compete with other top teams in the league, or at least in the NFC, like the Seattle Seahawks. They can compete with those teams. It's just they can't – you can't have too many empty drives. They have too many empty drives to get field goals, a missed kick, or a turnover. That happens too much in the red zone for them. And I just think – coming into the year, you see those three receivers. You see Kirk Cousins, who is an average quarterback. He's not as bad as anyone says he is. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a 15 to 20 range quarterback.
Average, yeah.
So he's done okay. He hasn't hurt them, but I think the play calling has hurt them. Their inability to make explosive plays when they need it has hurt them. And I mean, they struggled against the Bengals.
Shouldn't have. I think the Vikings every year are supposed to be a playoff team. I feel like every year, and every year they underperform. I mean, you have Kirk Cousins; he's an average quarterback, but there's definitely quarterbacks that are a lot worse than him. You have Dalvin Cook, you have Thielen, you have Jefferson. I mean, this offense should be putting up points.
Those are legit threats.
They shouldn't be getting shut down by a bottom tier Bengals defense the first week. They put up points against Arizona, but then, as you touched on, AJ, their defense
couldn't stop a lick.
They couldn't stop anything. So that team, in my opinion, underperforms every year. But a team I like to talk about is my Giants. Poor Giants every year. This year, they finally have some expectations. It's a playoff or bust year for them. Playoff or bust year, and they start off 0-2. You lose to a Broncos team, which is they're decent, but they're without Bradley Chubb, Von Miller coming back after missing a whole year. He can't score any points. He scored a garbage touchdown of Daniel Jones. He goes back to his old ways, fumbling the ball in the red zone. Jason Garrett calling Carl plays every play. Saquon Barkley not fully back. And then week 2, Daniel Jones looks good, very good. And the defense, again, can't stop a nosebleed. Now, going into the season, the defense was supposed to be the strongest part. Last year, they were borderline top 10 defense last year with Patrick Graham. This year, they have not looked good at all the first 2 weeks. And not to mention, this is not against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. This is against Teddy Bridgewater, a solid quarterback his whole career. Nothing spectacular, nothing bad, middle of the pack. And Taylor Heineke, a backup quarterback. Now, Taylor Heineke, he's looked good, but again, he's not nothing spectacular. He's nothing crazy here. And our defense is giving up 30 points to the Washington football team. And what I like to touch on here is the Jason Garrett play calling. It's been awful. You have weapons like Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard. You draft a guy like Kadarius Toney. He doesn't even have a catch in the first two games. Not one catch. You have Saquon Barkley. You have Kyle Rudolph at tight end. Evan Ingram's been hurt, but you still have Kyle Rudolph as your number two tight end. You get it. James Bradbury gets an interception week two. A little over 2 minutes left. Washington has all three of their timeouts. And we run the ball the first two plays. Washington's best defense against the run. We run the ball. Third play, we throw a slant to Shepard in front of the sticks. It's dropped. We kick a field goal. Play calling like that is just scared play calling, in my opinion. This team needs to turn it around. You're playing in a weak division. No teams really stand out. Cowboys look good so far, but we know they're the Cowboys. This could be a little biased since I'm a Giants fan, but it's just a disappointment. Every year they go in with you're supposed to grow on your year before. This is the fourth or fifth year they started
fourth year straight they started
0-2. We've become a laughing stock. We've become the old Cleveland Browns, in my opinion. And they need to turn around here quick. I mean, you spend all this money in the offseason. You get Kenny Galladay, Kyle Rudolph, Devontae Booker, Adoree Jackson, and you start off 0-2. I just don't get it. I think they need some serious changes here if stuff doesn't change soon. But we hope for the best. Hopefully they should beat up on an Atlanta Falcons team. But and for Giants fans out there, this isn't on Daniel Jones. He's looked good so far this season.
He has looked good. He's looked a lot better than people expected.
He's completing 64% of his passes, two touchdowns, no interceptions, which is pretty big for him. And he's throwing – he's averaging 319 yards a game, and not to mention he's running the ball like he's Lamar Jackson out here. I mean, he's not the problem. The offensive line has not been good, but for Giants standards, it's been decent. It's the play calling of Jason Garrett. Throw the ball up to Kenny Galladay. Give him a chance. He's the number one wide receiver. You paid him over 60 mil for a reason. Defense has to wake up. They can't create any pressure. Patrick Graham needs to come up with a scheme to create some pressure. James Bradbury's not playing good yet. Adoree Jackson looks solid, but they just need to figure it out. This can't keep happening, or Dave Gettleman's out, Jason Garrett's out. And I like the job Joe Judge is doing. I'd like to hear your opinion on it, AJ.
Yeah, and you brought Jason Garrett in last year to make a difference with the play calling that who was the play caller before? Was it who was the play caller before Jason Garrett came in?
Maybe it was Pat Shurmur was the head.
Pat
coach.
Shurmur, that's right. I think it was Pat Shurmur.
I think he called plays.
He did.
As well.
Pat Shurmur called plays, and
not for nothing. If you don't mind me adding, Pat Shurmur as an OC with Denver right now looks like one of the better ones out there.
Yeah,
completely ripped up
definitely.
The Giants defense.
Definitely, and I think Jason Garrett came in here just to utilize that offensive line and utilize that run game more, just so you can get more steady confidence to run the ball, because I feel like the Giants in years past, if they can't get any run pressure because their offensive line is hurting them, they're just relying on throwing the ball. And that's where Daniel Jones gets all these turnovers, and he's forcing plays that he shouldn't be forcing and causing fumbles because he's always running out of a sack. So I think Jason Garrett has to wake up and realize what his strengths of his football team is and just start going there before going anywhere else. And I think the Giants can be a better team and win some football games. It'd be nice to see. And you touched on Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos. Well, I want to say one thing about Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos, and you said Pat Shurmur has been calling a great game. Teddy Bridgewater right now is completing 77% of his passes. He has 592 yards, four touchdowns, zero interceptions, zero fumbles. They're utilizing their big players. Cortland Sutton's their big receiver. He's getting utilized. He looks like a Pro Bowl wide receiver already. Von Miller stepped up for that team. He has three sacks in the year. So I think that Broncos team is another small winner so far. Or I wouldn't even say small. It could be a big winner
especially
going after week two.
So
that's a tough division.
That's definitely important. But to tie into that, let's get to our rookie report. I believe you have something on Patrick Surtain.
Absolutely. Patrick Surtain was drafted this past draft.
Top 10
draft pick. I'm not exactly sure exactly the pick he had. Expectations were high. He was regarded as the number one cornerback in the draft, just behind J.C. Horn, who became very big later in the run for the college championship. And he had In his first game, I don't think he played much against the Giants. I didn't see him play much, but he played last week. Yeah, absolutely. He played a few snaps. Last week, he played against the Jaguars team. Now, the Jaguars, again, are nothing special whatsoever. Trevor Lawrence is a good – he's going to be good. He's a rookie. Everyone's a rookie. He's going to struggle, and they have. He has four tackles, one interception, one pass deflection in the first – or in his first start, I should say, against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is very good. He shut down DJ Clark. DJ Clark is supposed to be the big threat wide receiver on that team that's supposed to make these big explosive plays. Instead, it's Marvin Jones, so he took him completely out of the way. He held, or is it DJ Clark, who's explosive, to one catch for 19 yards, which is nothing. And I think Patrick Surtain, who's physical, he's 6'2", he ran a 4'4", a 4'4", 40. He can be a very good wide receiver, or not a wide receiver, a cornerback, a very good cornerback, and shut down these wide receivers, at least that we've seen, and shut down speed threats. He's a very good man-to-man corner. And doesn't really bite on double moves. He can stick on someone's hip. And I think he's played up to his potential so far. Again, it's one week. It's hard to – but that's all we've seen. So
I couldn't agree more. He looks like
that's a all we've seen.
Cornerback, top cornerback. He really does, especially for his first career start. I mean, you can't really ask much more out of him. But to stay on the rookie report, I'll also note a defensive player that was drafted – ahead of the right before the Giants drafted Micah Parsons. I mean, this man looks like the next great player in the league. I believe he'll be a defensive MVP one day, the way he's looking. Now, stats don't blow you away. 9 combined tackles, 1 sack, nothing that pops off the board like crazy. But if you watch the Cowboys, week 2, they didn't have Randy Gregory. They didn't have Dexter Lawrence. Who's applying the pressure on Justin Herbert all day? Again, against a good offensive line, the Chargers have a good offensive line. They drafted Rashawn Slater. They're much improved. And he's bringing the heat to Justin Herbert. I mean, this man lines up anywhere you want him, defensive end, inside linebacker, outside linebacker. He's in the slot sometimes. He's covering running backs up the seam. He's spying on the quarterback. Also runs a 4.40
fast
240 pounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man looks like he's gonna be a good player for a very long time. He can play everywhere. He's like a Swiss Army knife. They line him up wherever they want, and he could really do everything. He has a high motor. I've been very impressed with him. That would probably be the most impressive rookie so far to me out of everybody. If you want my honest opinion, out of all the quarterbacks, out of everybody that was drafted, all the wide receivers so far, I think he is going to pan out to be one of the steals of the draft. I'd like to hear your opinion.
I don't think he's a defensive end as much as, you know.
I think they lined him up there just because of the absence of Lawrence
and Gregory. Right.
But he showed that he can rush the passer
at a
high level.
I think he will benefit more from being an outside linebacker. More of a run-stopping outside linebacker because he's fast. He's physical. You're not really – he's not going to miss many tackles if he gets your hands on you. I think he can rush gaps as well as any other player and any rookie that's in this draft if he's put in the right spots. You put him on a DN, you're forcing him to try to get through these tackles. He's not a defensive tackle type, you know,
build.
Yeah, he's not like a defensive tackle build. He's more of a linebacker build. So I believe he'll fit that role more, but again, it's not like he can't do it. He can do it. And I'm sure the Cowboys will like to keep trying him there throughout the season, especially if he can improve, which he has unlimited potential to keep improving on his own skills.
The reason why people in the media, regular fans, people in the Cowboys organization talk about how this defense is so improved. He's a big reason for it because that defense last year, we all know, was historically bad. This year, the first 2 games, they lead the league in turnovers. 6 turnovers created, I believe. So I believe he's a big reason on that defense. And we can't forget, this is his first year, his second career game, and he's already making these big impacts. So I think he's definitely been one of the better players.
Definitely.
Drafted, but yes. That's our rookie report.
Yeah, you have any opinions on these these players that are standing out right now that look like one of the best players in the league, these MVPs?
Yeah, I mean, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. I think Kyler Murray is definitely one of the front runners for MVPs. I mean, I believe they were down 14-0 to Minnesota.
They were down early.
And you just felt like that, give you that Patrick Mahomes feeling, like 14-0. Okay,
you're not out of
I'm still favoring the Arizona in this game. I mean, he just gives you that feeling. He's that special kind of talent. I watched him live his rookie year, and I knew he'd be special. I didn't think he'd be this special, but I mean, hit him with the weapons he has around him, he's going to put up insane numbers all year for my fantasy people out there. He's the number one ranked fantasy quarterback already. So, yeah, he's definitely one. And I think we should have a little week three preview real quick here and get into what to watch for and some game picks. What do you say, AJ?
Absolutely. I just want to touch real quick on someone that we haven't talked about yet. We talked about Derek Carr a little bit. We talked about Kyle Murray a little bit. We could talk about Tom Brady. He's 44.
Yeah.
And he's still doing this at a high level.
He's going after that touchdown record.
Absolutely. That man's old. He's going for 50. I think he can get there. His body's healthier than ever. But it's kind of crazy to see him keep playing. But let's do this. Let's do these.
Let's get into some game picks here. So we can start today's game, Houston versus Carolina. I think we both have a pretty good understanding. I think we both agree on this. I'm taking Carolina in a blowout.
I would also take Carolina tonight.
Who's your – so let's for get sure. into this. So who's your biggest upset of the week?
My biggest upset of this week, people might not agree with this, I believe the Washington football team defensively can – now, I don't know how much, but the offensive line for the Bills hasn't been strong so far for Josh Allen. I think they can get to Josh Allen more times than not. People will kind of unexpect that, and I think they could possibly pull up a three-point win.
Yeah, Tyler Heinicke looked good last week, so I think this is definitely going to be closer than we think. My biggest upset of the week is I'm taking Cincy over Pittsburgh. Joe Burrow looked good. I mean, he struggled last week a little bit, but came back. He looked decent. Pittsburgh, to me, is just a mess. Ben has a pec injury now, Big Ben.
Right.
TJ Watt's injured. Offensive line is atrocious.
This is the perfect moment for the Bengals to strike. I agree.
Think the Bengals go into Pittsburgh and they knock them off, and that's going to be the biggest upset of the week. I think Joe Burrow has a big game. It's his coming out party. Those weapons, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, improved defense. I think they go in there against a hobbled Pittsburgh team, and they go out with the dub. So
Let's run through the rest of these games here. Let's give our picks the rest of these games. We'll go one by one here and give our game picks predictions for the rest of the week three. We have the Colts and the Titans in Tennessee. I think Tennessee wins that game.
Tennessee wins that game.
I think they're just a better team, healthier team also right now.
Let's get into Chargers, KC. I'm going to take Kansas City. I don't think they're losing back-to-back weeks.
I agree. Kansas City will not lose back-to-back weeks. Falcons, Giants. That's a toss-up game.
The take Giants the over on that for all you betting people. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Giants pull it out slightly.
I agree. I think the Giants get the first win.
Over, so I think it's a must-win for them.
Yeah, I get there. I think that's their
and
first win.
And let's highlight
sure.
one more game here. Biggest game of the week, Tampa versus Los Angeles Rams in L.A. at SoFi Stadium. Who you got, AJ?
That's a tough game. They're both very good, defensively very good. I think if it's close game, I think Tampa wins. I think Tom Brady and that offense will win the clutch. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay a slight win over L.A.
I'm also going to take Tampa Bay close. Going to be a good game. Definitely the game of the week, in my opinion. But I think Matthew Stafford has something to prove. But I don't think it's his time yet. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, all his weapons. AB is out with COVID. That's important to note. But I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Right. We have a Monday night game, Eagles Cowboys. It's also a tie. It's also a toss up game. I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm going to take the Eagles by 50 against the Cowboys.
The Cowboys look good. I got to take the Cowboys on that.
That's unfortunate.
But it should be a good game.
That's unfortunate.
Well, yeah, look, that's really pretty much it for today, guys. I appreciate you guys listening. We'll be back every Thursday, sometimes a couple times a week. But yeah, thanks for listening. Keep on listening to us, and I look forward to next week.
Absolutely. Definitely want to try to get these out as much as we can. That's the goal here. Keep rolling week to week, twice a week, whatever the time tells. But I appreciate everyone listening to this, and I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your days.
Thanks again,
guys. We'll see you next time.